cliffcentral.com.
Very cute song. It's called Issues. It's just pretty. It's a pretty little song, huh? Don't you think?
It's quirky as well.
It's pretty. Oh. And it's Julia Michaels. All right. There's a guy on the phone lines who wants to talk about something fairly severe this morning. I don't know if we want to get into that. Oh, yeah. He wants to talk about something very heavy, but let's, we don't decide what the show is. Our listeners decide, and who the hell am I to get in the way? Good morning. Who am I speaking to?
Speaking to Sean.
Yeah, Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, so I lived in Grahamstown, and one day after a rugby match against another school, apparently one of the guys, as he was walking home, he wasn't one of the rugby players.
Yeah,
but he got cornered by seagulls and basically harassed and kissed and pushed into a corner.
Yeah.
So after that, his mother asked that one of us guys that live in the hostel just walked him home after school, because obviously this officer was not happy walking home alone anymore.
Sure.
But I was confused though. I didn't see it as rape. I saw it as give anything to be cornered by people. I was walking him home to help him, in case they corner him again, and I'd gladly kiss two of them, and you can just have one.
You'd be the wingman.
Exactly.
All right, thanks, Sean. All right, thank you. I was going to treat that seriously, but who the hell cares? It's Friday morning. Here are some questions and some comments. Yes, Ben?
That just sounded like something out of South Park.
Yeah, it did. And I loved it. Gareth, do you believe you've killed terrestrial radio? I've been telling you this for ages now. Ben, what are the chances in the Champions Trophy? Have a lucky weekend. Regards, Gadge.
I could answer all those if you want. I think terrestrial radio has killed itself. Champions Trophy, yes. We definitely have a chance.
Okay. There we go.
Yeah.
Very good. Ben, try the Fine Music Radio podcast. The dude was saying Bubble's going to go on the bit. Bitcoin. There's a podcast, apparently, that you can listen to about that. Ben, have you received your Mavic Pro yet? Yes, we were talking about it a little bit earlier on.
Had my first week with it.
What did you think about the new DJI Spark that was released a few days ago? Sent me a picture of that.
I think it looks amazing. And as far as like first-time drone users who don't have a lot of interest in big aerial shots, it's amazing. Like if I wanted just for photography, I would have got that. But I need it for golf, so that's why I got the slightly bigger one.
Lots to talk about this morning. Mabel is here. I wonder what's on her mind today for a Friday. What are you thinking about, Mubs?
Well, I just thought that yesterday's events were a little bit bizarre, given that it was Africa Day and then Musi Maimane was barred from entering Zambia.
Of course.
I mean, it was just very strange.
So he went there because the leader of the opposition in Zambia has been arrested. And
yes.
he's been held in jail. I think it's for 3 months now he's been in jail.
Uh-huh.
And they are trying to figure out what's going on there. His trial was meant to take place yesterday. I don't know if it did happen or not, but Musi Maimane was going to go there and support him in solidarity.
Yes, and then when he arrived there, he was there with exactly one bodyguard and like some other staff member, which, according to their spokesperson said, oh, well, it's standard procedure.
Yeah.
But he basically was not allowed access into the country at all. They all had to turn around. He landed back at OR Tambo International Airport. So then this morning, Maimane says that he's going to brief the media in terms of what exactly happened when he was barred from entering the country.
But still, here we are on Africa Day. Like you say, it's so bizarre. We're trying to celebrate a day where we put our continent first and we express solidarity with the rest of the continent and we stand up for the things that we believe in Africa. Mm. And here you've got this country that is sliding backwards by all accounts. People are saying it's becoming more authoritarian. And the leader of the opposition is in jail. Our opposition leader wants to go and show his support.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets manhandled and thrown back on the plane.
Yes. And so the Zambian High Commissioner is also expected to give an address this morning to explain, well, what exactly happened? Why was Musi Maimane prevented from entering the country?
It's pretty messed up. All right. I don't know if you heard, but there were these strange sounds picked up yesterday. Apparently people were saying there were these very bizarre noises and they reckon they might have come from outer space. You know how we have that massive array of satellite dishes in the Karoo.
Oh, right, yeah.
They're trying to figure out what, you know, background noise the universe is creating and all the rest. And it seems that some of these sounds may have emanated from near Mars.
Hmm.
I'm making it up. It's for real.
It's kind of weird, like, again, sorry, I don't mean to drone on about droning. But I went really, really high as far as just because you can scroll the gimbal up, right?
Oh, yeah?
And I, again, I'm new to this, so there's certain lights that maybe I'm not quite sure what's what. Maybe I should actually relook at the stuff from yesterday.
Maybe you might have picked up on something. I don't know what it is at this point. There's a lot of speculation and rumor, and people are saying, oh, well, it could be some kind of extraterrestrial life. We don't know.
That's our favorite go-to place.
Well, I mean...
So they picked it up because of all the satellite dishes?
Yeah.
Are you guys like picking up the obvious here?
What?
Our studio is based in
the middle of a nest of satellite dishes.
Like, I mean,
so if whoever's making this noise in outer space, if they are, if they're looking down on planet Earth now, we could be one of the places they want to come to just because of all our satellites.
Totally fine with that.
I don't know if I'm ready for that.
You don't have a problem?
They were totally fit on a Friday.
We'll offer them tea and coffee like we do with all our guests.
We will not judge them just like we do all our guests.
Exactly.
John T will give them a proper rub down.
Well, it is a Friday, so yeah.
They're getting some of John T's muffins today, actually.
In fact, they should come on a Friday. John T, Casper De Vries, they'd have a hoot.
Dave Levinson.
It's probably not a bad day to arrive, but there's so much speculation at this point. We don't know enough, but what we do know is that there were actual noises picked up, and a lot of people are very excited by this. You know, there's a community of people who've been watching the stars and watching the skies for years, hoping to see something, and maybe that something will finally arrive for them. Nobody knows. We'll be sure to catch up on all of this next week. I've got one or two experts that we'll be speaking to. So keep an eye out for that. Should be very exciting.
We must also keep an eye out for what Elon Musk has to say.
Elon Musk is talking about it, we know it's for real.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, just on Elon Musk, do you know that this week he announced that he's funding a new startup to basically try to add extra memory to your brain?
Now that I like.
This is very interesting. So if you've ever wished that you actually want extra memory, boy, oh boy, do I need that. Musk, as you know, heads up the company best known for making Tesla, the industry-leading electric car, and he's the CEO of SpaceX, which is building rockets so that humans can live on Mars. But now he's revealed that he's the founder and chief executive of Neuralink, a startup seeking to create cerebral implants that will turn computers into a direct extension of our brains and thus enhance our intelligence.
Imagine you go
memory.
To the counter and you go, excuse me, could I please have 64 gigs? And then someone else comes up behind you and they go, I'd like 128 gigs. You're like, what? I'll have a terabyte.
And then someone's like, what for? What do you want it for?
Yeah, this they would start arguing about, what do you need that much storage for? You just work in cleaning. Go to hell. That's what I need. I got a lot to remember.
I found a really interesting flow diagram of all Elon Musk's major failures in life.
Oh, that's interesting. Let's hear it.
I am not even surprised. Ben hates Elon Musk.
I don't hate Elon Musk.
And every chance
that he gets. Interview Elon Musk as well. We have a little
yes,
chat.
Yes, you must, actually.
Basically, if Maria Sharapova and Elon Musk got married and had a child, Ben's head would explode.
Oh, they really should. Yeah. No, I'll quickly run through a couple of things. Because what I want to get at with this is that if you want to be successful in life, you've got to fail. And he's failed a lot, which means he's successful. 1995, unsuccessfully applied for a job at Netscape. 1996, ousted as CEO of his own company, Zip2. Mm-hmm. 1999, the first PayPal product was voted as one of the 10 worst business ideas of all time.
10 worst business ideas of all time. Not just did that.
All right. 1999, he crashed his newly bought McLaren F1 worth $1 million. In 2000, he was ousted from PayPal while he was on honeymoon.
Jeez.
2001, Russians refused to sell him rockets to send mice and plants to Mars. 2002, Russians turned him down again. Young boy, no. The impetus behind SpaceX, that's what he's basically told.
Young boy, no.
2006, first ever rocket launch and first ever explosion. 2007, second rocket launch, second explosion. 2008, third rocket launch, third explosion. And this time he had NASA satellites on board, so it wasn't very successful. Both Tesla and SpaceX on the brink of bankruptcy, 2008. 2013, first rocket launch while landing at the ocean. So this one didn't blow up, it landed on the ocean.
Oh my goodness.
So best progress. 2014, Tesla Model S had several problems with spontaneous battery combustion.
Gee, I didn't realize that happened.
2015, fourth rocket launch, explosion at launch. Second and third, third explosion when landing on a drone ship. 2016, Model X delivered more than 18, sorry, delayed more than 18. That's the Tesla Model X. Mm-hmm. 2016, fifth rocket launch explosion. This time, yes, satellites.
You know,
from
after
Facebook.
You've had five explosions, do you not, would you not give up? And remember, it's millions and millions of dollars every time one of these things doesn't work.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, and this time he had Zuckerberg satellites on board. So he had NASA satellites the one time he exploded. Now he had Zuckerberg satellites worth $300 million. And then 2016 also, fourth, fifth, sixth critical failures while landing on a drone ship.
Oh, wow.
Well, good luck, Mr. Musk, with your new venture.
Like, you got to admire this kid, huh? Like,
this kid.
This is just everything he does. Like, it can just blow up. He's like, well, back to the drawing board.
I would not go through that many failures and keep trying. Mm-hmm. I'd feel like everything was against me and maybe this wasn't the best idea. I mean, how do you know when to give up on something? How do you know when you've tried and tried and tried and it's now not going to work? Because you might just have to go one more time. And that could be the one that brings you the success.
But this is why we need to separate this notion that failure is always a terrible thing, because Elon Musk is successful.
Mm.
So, yes, he's failed, but look at him also.
I call him the real life Iron Man.
Yeah, well, look, Walt Disney was told it wasn't creative enough, so it was fired from the newspaper it featured in.
What, you mean Mickey Mouse?
Well, Walt Disney himself. He was fired for not being creative enough.
Can you imagine?
He then started his own production company, and it bombed. He then went to Los Angeles with $40 and made Walt what it is now. Jeff Bezos said that he's made billions of dollars of mistakes.
Oof, billions.
See, well, I guess when you start to look at failure as something that informs better decisions in the future, that kind of makes you feel better, I guess.
Yeah. Steven Spielberg rejected from University of Southern California's film school twice.
Hmm.
And Oprah was fired from her first job as an anchor.
Yeah. See?
Well, there you go.
But this, you know what? Like, I actually reckon Hollywood needs to stop being accountable, right? This whole notion that life is amazing, true love lasts forever, blah, 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 get a job, be
happy.
No
one ever focuses on the failure.
Failure is actually, no one's ever got success without failure. So I don't know why we carry on banging our heads about failure. Failure is the most welcome thing in the world.
Yeah.
It should be like, wow, I had a shit week. Congrats. Well done. I'm so glad that you completely cocked everything up this week. This means you're doing well in life.
For example, in order for Serena Williams and Roger Federer to be who they are, they had to start off failing in the beginning.
I don't know. I think Serena was always amazing. Probably a bad example.
You don't think she lost a match or two along the way? That's all I'm saying. Like, they had to start off failing first. That's how you get there.
All right. Well, speaking of failure, we sometimes fail to take people who have certain mental illnesses seriously. And, of course, it's Bipolar Awareness Day today, which means that there are lots of people who have this particular condition who are not taken seriously by society. They have very serious problems. They can deal with everything from just really deep depression to manic highs to suicidal thoughts and even have to deal with discrimination from the rest of us. And you know, our feeling about mental illness on this show is that it's just like physical illness. You get a cold, you've got to treat it. And just because someone's got a mental illness, you shouldn't be treating them any differently to the way you would treat someone who had a physical illness. If someone walked in with a cough or a sneeze, you'd know what to do with them. You wouldn't keep them at arm's length and talk about how they're crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's what people do. So on the line, a friend of ours, many times we've spoken to her, Casey Chambers. Hey, Casey, how are you?
Hi, good morning. I'm well. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you this morning. So it's Bipolar Awareness Day. Did I more or less get that right? Deep depression, manic highs, all that kind of thing?
You did. You know, it's an extreme mood shift. A lot of people think, and I think we use it so much in slang nowadays, that, oh, I'm so bipolar today, or that one's definitely bipolar.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a normal mood swing where you feel happy and sad all in one day. But I think with someone who's suffering from bipolar disorder, it's the extreme highs and extreme lows. And I think it starts to really impact on their daily functioning.
Now, let's just deal with what you brought up a moment ago, that people use this word like it's, you know, if they've had a happy day or a sad day, they start saying they're bipolar, and it's just like a buzzword that people throw around. Mm. But real bipolar disease, I mean, you have to be diagnosed by a psychologist, a psychiatrist, And it has real world implications. Like there is medicine available. There's treatment available to people who have this disorder. How serious is it though? And how do you know whether you've got it or not?
I think you touched on such an important thing that you're having to go to a medical professional for a diagnosis and medication. It's a chronic mood disorder. It's a chronic illness, just like diabetes or hypertension. You have to be on medication. With anything to do with mental illness, and it's difficult for, I think, society to grasp that if something is wrong with your brain, that you need then some medicine or some intervention to help that. And someone with bipolar, it does affect the way that your body functions, the way that it feels, and the way that it runs. So going to see a psychiatrist for a diagnosis and medication is part of the treatment. Working with a psychologist to learn how to cope every single day and with other people and within work and just to really give you those coping skills and to process everything. And then we always suggest joining a support group. You know, there's nothing like connecting or learning from other people who have been there, done that, got the T-shirt. And when we look at South Africa, you know, 500,000 South Africans suffer from bipolar disorder. That's a lot of people. And the scary thing, some of our stats even say that the majority of people, A, can't afford treatment or are not accessing treatment. So there's a lot of people who are suffering in silence, and there's all this treatment and help available but aren't able to access it.
Cassie, what about the actual stats in South Africa? You mentioned now 500,000 people. Is that right? I mean, how much data, how much info do we have? How much local knowledge do we have about bipolar disorder in South Africa?
You know, not enough. When we're looking at stats, and this is in general with regards to mental health, there's not enough updated information that we have. And recently, we did a survey via site and online looking at the experiences that people with bipolar go through, from accessing treatment to their challenges. And we have the research results, and it's really, really fascinating. It's also quite alarming for us and something that we have to address, that, you know, one in two patients with bipolar disorder don't understand enough about their illness and how to manage or how to cope with it. Even more patients are stopping their medication, A, because they cannot afford it, or B, they don't like the side effects, so they stop. And this, of course, can even lead to even more serious things like suicide, hospitalization. So I think without having proper data and research, we're not sure what people are experiencing, and we can't actually then plan programs and change policy to help them.
Well, you did this survey a little while ago, and you had 400 people with bipolar disorder take part in it, so you could gather some info. And yeah, some of what you've learned is that 81% of people experience deep depression. 67% have been hospitalized at least once in their lifetime. 84% have attempted or considered suicide at some point. Is that right?
That is. And that's quite alarming, because that immediately shows us that these patients are really suffering, that they're not getting help, that they're not being stable. And I think that's an area we really have to focus on, is, you know, when a patient is feeling so suicidal, they feel so helpless and so hopeless. And that's where SADAG wants to come in and offer them help.
Tell me, we spend a lot of time talking about depression because so many people suffer from it. We don't talk a lot about mania. Depression, of course, is a chemical thing, and it's something that that has massive effects on people's daily life. They just can't. They can't draw on anything to get over it. And for people like me, it's taken a while to figure out what exactly depression is in other people and to recognize it and to take it seriously. What's mania?
So mania, and again, you bring on such an important topic, is that, you know, it's this silent illness. It's invisible. So you can't see the physical symptoms, so you don't think it's real. And the same thing with mania. You know, someone with manic episode or manic symptoms, they might be talking really, really fast and bouncing from one idea to the next. They're not making sense. They're not following rational thoughts. They have tons of energy, literally like bouncing off the walls. They don't need to sleep for days. There's also sometimes a change in their appearance where maybe they're not showering or brushing teeth, or they just look disheveled. We also know that in some cases with extreme mania, there may be even hallucinations, some psychosis, where they're talking and seeing things that we can't see, but they can see, and it feels really real for them. And I think that's where the scary part of it. It's not just feeling happy or elated or on top of the world. It can also be agitated, you know, aggressive. It can be incredibly overwhelming for the person in those manic episodes. So I think it's not something that we can tread lightly on. It's a lot more serious. And if you speak to any patient who's been through, you know, manic episodes, or even their family members, they'll tell you it's very scary. And it's something that you don't wish upon your worst enemy.
So is the right term for these people maniacs?
No, it's not. What we normally then do is just it's patients with bipolar, you know, because from the manic episodes, they are going to dip eventually into a deep depression. And that's where they normally are more open to getting help.
What do they normally mistake bipolar disorder for? Because sometimes a misdiagnosis is made or people self-diagnose. What are the things that they think are bipolar disorder or bipolar disorder is what they imagine they have and it turns out they've got something else? What are the mistakes?
So I think a lot of the time when we're doing, and Google is both our friend and our enemy, when you Google your symptoms, it always tells you a lot worse. And people often get misdiagnoses or they self-diagnose. And they could think they have schizophrenia or borderline personality disorder or they're bewitched or they're crazy. And I think this is where the scary part comes is because we self-diagnose, we take on that label, and then we don't go and seek the proper treatment and diagnosis. And so working with a proper psychiatrist who's a specialist I think is really important because there's an extensive assessment and treating program that needs to take in place. And I think just the stigma and the misconception around treatment, we often get patients who, you know, don't want to take medication and they think that, you know, it's going to change who they are and they don't want to be numbed. And that's not what medication for bipolar should be. And it's a whole holistic treatment that needs to happen. It's not just the medication. It's the therapy and the support that comes in. And, you know, if you have a flu, if you have a headache, if you have diabetes, it's okay to take medication and people are a lot more open to it.
Yep.
But the minute we say you need to take medication for your depression or bipolar, immediately people's backs up. And I think that's why you have to be working with the doctor and really assessing how is this impacting your daily life? You know, how do we make this better for you and help you function better? And I think that's why you really have to work with mental health professionals.
Well, I like talking about mental health issues because I don't think a lot of people do. And I also think that people who have these mental health issues should be treated like anyone else. My biggest problem is that I feel like I'm in the minority here. Like most of the people who have mental illness of a kind are always discriminated against. Society is not very forgiving, right?
Absolutely. And I think, again, the movies don't help us. And, you know, in the movies, it's depicted that you're crazy, that you're unstable, that you're dangerous. So people don't like coming forward to say, hey, I have bipolar disorder and I'm fine. You know, a lot of people assume that there's something else wrong and they don't want to, you know, interact with them. They don't want to be around them. And I think that makes the illness even more isolating. So people don't come forward. People don't share. You know, it takes one bad comment to prevent someone from reaching out or sharing their illness. And we, you know, patients living with mental illness across the board get discriminated in the workplace, even by their own families. And I think that's something that we at FADAC try to do is to destigmatize it and make it okay and encourage people to come forward. And, you know, even having you, Gareth, talk about it, it makes such a difference in people now. You know, what we're hoping is from you and I talking, someone can go to work and say, well, have you heard about bipolar? You know, chat about it. And it becomes a topic of conversation and it becomes normal to talk about it and less scary and less taboo.
Well, it is Bipolar Awareness Day today, which is why we're talking to Cassie. And by the way, if you want to find out more, you can always get hold of SADAG. You guys are open 7 days a week from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., 0800 70 80 90. That's 0800 708090.
Okay.
You can also visit the website, sadag.org, for more information on bipolar, as well as some new videos by mental health professionals for patients and loved ones. And you might need to watch those. It might get you thinking whether or not you need help. Is that right, Cassie? Anything you want to add?
That's fantastic. I think one of the things that we're also trying to do today, wherever anyone is and around the country, is that you can log into our Facebook Friday online chat. We have some psychologists and psychiatrists giving free advice and information. So join us. All the information is on our website. You can go at 1 o'clock till 2 o'clock and again at 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. We also have a free workshop tomorrow with some psychiatrists and a support group leader in Randburg at the Akeso Clinic. I think what we're just trying to do is to reach out and offer help to anyone who may think they have bipolar or even depression or they just want more information on how to help a loved one. The most important thing is to reach out. You're not alone and that there's always help.
Thank you very much for talking to us this morning, Cassie.
Thank you very much, Gareth. Appreciate it.
Very good. SADAG, the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. You can get hold of them again on 0800 708090. That's 708090. Or you can contact them at sadag.org. www.bipolar.org. It's interesting stuff, huh? You don't think about bipolar until someone in your family or someone you know or someone you care about ends up with it.
Mm.
Most people just, you know, throw around that word like, oh, I'm so bipolar today. You're like, no, honey, that's not bipolar. You're just having a little mood swing. Bipolar disorder is a very serious thing. And by the way, you shouldn't be embarrassed to admit if you actually do have
bipolar disorder. Yeah,
get this stuff sorted. Now, here's a word of advice for you, Sia, from Duncan. He says, you don't need more memory. You just need to use it effectively. For example, this is for you, especially for you. Sia, you are storing all those opera show. I think he means Oprah. All those Oprah shows in your head, which is by its very nature is going to take up a lot of space. So if you purge those, you'll have more memory for other things.
I guess, but when you look at quality over quantity, come on, you know, to learn about Oprah. Everything from, you know, how to redecorate your house and, you know,
yeah,
how to own your own network. These are crucial very life nice. Lessons.
It's varied.
Yes. And then, Ben, a lot of people responding to your discussion around failure, people are saying you're absolutely right. Apparently, Colonel Sanders, the guy who invented KFC, he tried that recipe. He got it wrong 1,009 times before he eventually came up with the recipe for KFC.
1,009?
That's a very specific number.
Oh, how's I would that? Be done.
Lot of,
if I like
he must have eaten a lot of chicken, huh?
Yeah.
Sheepers. Mm.
That's quite something.
That's a lot of fried chicken.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And then people saying that fail, there's an acronym for what fail actually means. It's like something about success eventually comes. I can't
well,
remember.
Well, there's one I know as well. First attempt in
there
learning.
There we go. Thank you. First attempt in learning. And in fact, that was provided by Shabnam on the line on WeChat this morning. Thank you for discussing mental health issues. Yeah, well, we do it here. We're not embarrassed to talk about that stuff. And if you've got anything you want to say, anything you want to add, 079-748-2090 is the WhatsApp line. If you want to call us, 0861-555-189. In a little while, we'll talk to Martin Sweet from Prime Stars. We can find out all about what they're doing. They've got a big event on this weekend. See, aren't you emceeing it?
Yes, this Sunday. Yeah, it's an awesome, awesome initiative called My Future, My Career. So we'll find out about that in a bit.
So I went and visited this old lady yesterday called Dorothy, who listens to us. She's in an old age home in Pretoria. And it was interesting because I arrived at the old age home and this woman at reception said to me, go up to the fourth. This is how she said, go up to the fourth floor. There's a sitting room. That's where she's waiting. So I went upstairs and I sat there and...
Can you set the scene first? Like, is it a nice,
it's
homey,
like a block of
warm...
flats.
Oh, okay.
It's like a block of flats.
Do they at least have a garden to look out
there's
at?
A little garden, yeah. Look, it's not an unpleasant place.
Okay.
Apparently it costs them... She was telling me 8,000 rand a month to live in that old age home.
Costs
yeah, they're not cheap,
who?
The old people.
Oh.
That's not cheap.
I think
no.
That's, I think that's on the more 8,
affordable
scale.
8,000 rand a month. Ben, imagine you live... She's 69. She could live to 100. That's 40 years. Well, 30
31.
Years. Sorry. By the way, on that note, Carla says, imagine if Gareth could hook up a calculator to his brain. Simple math wouldn't take the whole show anymore.
That's a good point.
30 years. Imagine she lives another 30 years at 8,000 rand a month. That's going to deplete every cent you've got. Trust me. There's not going to be enough in the bank for that.
Gareth, I may be incorrect here, but I think 8,000 rand is very light as far as what you could be paying to have an old woman.
How high do they go, Ben?
What are the luxury old age homes?
I reckon you can go as high as 20. Your average one will probably be around 12 to 13, what? I reckon. From what I've heard.
20 grand a month in an old age home. Amanda's like shaking her head. Are you right? Have you heard of this?
I have, because my gran was looking to go to one and then we shopped around.
And some of them are 20 grand?
Well, there was one in like Kempton in Bonaire Park, which was like 17. See? And that would be for one person. And then like my granddad also, you know.
Oh my. Is he still around as well?
Yeah.
Okay, so 17. Let's just call it around 30 for a couple to put your parents into a home, right? 30 grand a month. But then again, like, you think what happens, they need care. So if there's no option.
Yeah, it's round the clock care.
So there's no option.
You have someone to look after you in case you fall. Because what happened to her, she told me her story. She used to have like a lot of addictions. And so she didn't have the easiest life. And she married this dude who was a bit of a douchebag.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a son. And her son died probably about 5 years ago. And then that kind of pushed her over the edge. She started drinking a lot and taking pills, and then she slipped and fell at home. Mm-hmm. And the whole family decided, nope, off to the home with you. They put her in the old age home. And she's not unhappy. It wasn't a depressing story. I didn't walk out of there feeling bad. And she's a very sweet, very interesting, very funny, very lively old lady. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know what? There are different ways that you could approach old age. I thought, it's a reality. You've just got to deal with it. And I don't have a lot of old people in my life, so I don't think about this very often. But I imagine it must be exciting in the first while when you like have all this time on your hands. Because that's the one thing she says she's got lots of is time. She can read whatever she wants. All the stuff that we always bitch about not being able to do.
Yeah.
But of course, you don't have as much human interaction. So her most meaningful engagements every day are with the staff who look after them.
What about the other elderly people?
She said they're terrible.
Oh. Yeah, fair enough. Because that's the only thing, is that you're now at the mercy of who you share this building with.
She said they're
with.
Terrible. She said they smell. She says they irritate her. They're all much older than her, so she can't really have a conversation with them. And she said they didn't even watch the news. Like, none of them knew what happened in Manchester this week. And it drove her crazy.
You can't have conversations. 69 really isn't that old.
No. 69 these days is very young.
What's the average retirement age? Is it 55, 60?
Well, it depends where you work. Some places it's 60, some places it's 55, some places it's 65.
Yeah, I would.
But I think there's a huge amount of usefulness. If we pulled out and you look at how many grandmothers keep villages going in rural parts of South Africa, and how many grandmothers are raising their grandchildren because the parents aren't there. We have a lot of really useful old people in South Africa. And by old, I'm not being ageist. I'm saying if you're over 65, technically you're an old person, all right? Mm-hmm. You've been around a long time. There's massive knowledge and wisdom and usefulness there. Retiring, forcing people to retire is stupid. If they're still useful, keep them.
And also, that's how you age very quickly. You age so quickly when the stimulation goes.
Yeah.
Because when you sit around, like anything that stagnates is not good. And the human brain, exactly the same.
She said this: the woman who hands out the pills at the old age home is a real bitch.
Yeah, you can imagine. She takes the power with that job, huh?
If you don't get your little, because they get a little box with all their pills for the day. It's a big thing.
She probably walks around with one of those rulers and smacks hands.
Yeah.
Oh, strikes me as that kind of person.
That's the thing. You sometimes hear horrible stories coming out of how people in old age homes are treated by the staff. They're abused, some of them.
Well,
abused.
I got to say, there was nothing like that here from what I could see. Everybody seemed to be more or less happy. And then there were people walking around the gardens outside and reading books. And, you know, it seemed very serene.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get old, though.
Well, that's not something that you get to have a say in.
See, I just think there's a huge... There's huge potential for our elderly. I think we need more old people in our judicial system, and I think we need more old people as therapists. You know, old people just tell the truth. You're sitting on the couch, they're complaining like, I don't know what to do. They'll tell you straight.
Stop moaning. I've got terrible diarrhea. I don't have time for your moaning.
That's it. And then imagine like in grandma's a judge. It's like, listen, pay the money back. You're an idiot. Break up. This divorce is over.
All right. We'll come back in a moment or two. We'll talk to Martin Sweet about what's going on with Prime Stars and their big event this weekend. Sia is the MC for that event. All of that and more. On the way, cliffcentral.com. Ben says, what is this, Lebanese pop? It's Charlie Puth with Tension. Tension, attention. Speaking of attention, there's a new driver alert. Right, Lucas, what's going on? This is a little update for everyone.
There's a new driver alert, you know?
All right, everybody be careful. Driver alert. What's happening?
I think somebody will be driving past Binoni or before Binoni. Palisa, please come to the mic.
Oh, boy. Is Palisa's going to be driving from tomorrow?
Palisa can't sleep. She says she can't sleep. She can't wait for tomorrow morning. She's fetching a car.
Yay!
Nice.
Oh, that's right. I remember we were talking about her going for her license the other day.
Yes.
Okay, so it was successful.
She failed miserably the first time.
Oh my goodness. Amen. I failed twice.
But it was a first attempt in learning.
Learned, yeah, exactly. We've learned that failure is never a bad thing. And you did pass it the other day.
Yes.
So now you are a licensed driver.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Did Do you know what this all means, Balaza? When we're all hungry at lunch, you're now the designated lunch buyer, basically.
Yes.
But I choose which car I drive, right?
What, you're going to be driving everyone else's cars as well?
Yes.
Oh.
I already know which car I want to drive to get everyone lunch.
Yeah, no, sure. Gareth, hand over the keys.
Okay.
Obviously, that's number one.
Lead by example, Gareth.
I'm going to get you a stoot-toot. Yeah.
There's your car and there's also a Volvo. So between those two cars, I'll choose which one.
All right.
And then
okay.
You can take Ben's.
What?
No, thank you.
You want to take Ben's bike?
No, thank you.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, she doesn't have a license for a motorbike, so that's probably.
Can you drive a truck?
Code 10, yes.
You've got a code 10?
Yes.
Oh. No. That means she can't parallel park. She can't alley dock. She can't. No.
Basically,
no.
Survive.
No.
Really? Is that what that means?
I think that's what it means. They don't make you park. Yeah, they don't put you through
the... give you a truck license if you can't park a car. You're joking. That doesn't sound very good.
They do it because it's easier.
No, but that's outrageous because driving a truck.
No, but you can park, but not like parallel parking and whatnot. You can just park straight. Straight parking.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Never go to Cape Town then.
Yeah. You can't alley dock? You can't drive reverse park?
You can.
Can you do side. What is it called?
Side parking.
Parallel parking.
No.
You can't do that.
If it makes you feel better.
Jesus. Everybody watch
either.
Out. This woman's a hazard. I'm telling you. If you can drive a truck but you can't park a car, I'm very worried.
Oh no.
Maybe I want to buy myself a truck.
Oh.
Is that what you? That's what you really want?
Yeah. That's truck. What we all aim for.
Yes, Matt. I mean, I get so scared when I drive up next to those very big trucks. You know, the ones that are like huge and 18 wheelers and all
the
rest.
Especially the ones that say, I take two lanes to turn. I'm like, hold up, but I'm in that lane.
What's going to happen to me?
Sure. As soon as they start indicating to go into your lane, I always move to the other lane. I'm like, I'm not taking chances here.
Oh, no.
Listen, when I see those big trucks, I try to. I once stopped at a robot at the bottom of a hill. And there was a road in front where you could only go left or right. And in front of that, there was a barrier and then this ditch.
Mm.
And I swapped lanes for no reason. I just went over to the other side. Mm. And this truck came barreling down. Its brakes had failed. And it just plowed into two or three cars in front of it and into the ditch. And if I hadn't turned into that other lane, I would have been gone. Gone. It was terrifying.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
So I'm very nervous around those kinds of things.
Yeah.
You know, you might have 18 wheels, but it doesn't mean you're more stable.
No.
I mean, I've seen people on one wheel who are more stable than those trucks. All right, let us welcome an old friend of ours, Martin Sweet. It's very nice to see you, Martin. I hope you're well. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Martin Sweet is with Prime Stars. They've been doing an amazing array of events over the years, which we've been involved with in various ways and shapes and forms. So it's nice to have you here again.
Great to be with Cliff Central again, and it's really nice to see all of you.
How are you, Martin? What's going on?
Thank God, everything's great. We're back in the scheme of things. We're in all the cinemas all over South Africa.
Let's just tell everybody about this, because I got involved with you guys, 5-6 years ago? Maybe even longer.
Yeah, well...
You do this special education. You've got these cinemas.
Yes.
And on a Sunday, for example, when no one's going to the cinema... You can fill them up with school kids and do extra lessons, helps them prepare for the exams, helps them fill in those gaps in the learning that they might have had during the year. And you have the best people doing this. And you've helped how many people so far? How many kids have been through this process?
Well, now we're doing 90,000 learners a year. You know, when you helped me start the whole process, you were our very first ambassador. We were very proud of you.
And well, I was cheap at the time.
Yeah, come to think of that. These days, we can't afford you.
I don't think I charged. I was like, yeah, that sounds nice. That sounds like a good thing to do.
Yeah, you know, you've always been fabulous that way. I remember in the early days, you used to do massive MCing and a whole host of things. And you never even raised the specter of charging us money.
I still haven't.
And you still haven't, quite right. You do it less frequently, though.
But you were saying when we started it.
Yes. So we started 13 years ago with 136 kids teaching them maths and science. We moved those marks of those kids who participated by about 13 to 26% across the board.
Made that much of a difference.
It was unbelievable, because if you think education is not perfect now, then it was even less perfect.
Yeah.
So we started with maths and science. We were then asked by government to look at career guidance. We then moved to financial literacy. And now we're also adding entrepreneurship into the mix. And we have probably the biggest entrepreneurship program in Africa.
Oh, yeah?
We put 16,000 kids through in the second half of the year. In 5 months, we have 400 little companies. We then bring the best with Tsoho and with Kalula flying them from all over South Africa. Mm-hmm. We have an award ceremony. And Lindiwe Zulu calls it the best youth development entrepreneurship program in Africa.
That's no small praise. And we've brought with you this morning a guest, John Matlase. How are you, John? He's the Group Transformation Manager, AECI. Am I right about all of that? I didn't want to get it wrong.
You're correct, Gareth.
Very nice to have you here, too. So how are AECI involved?
Well, without sponsors, we are not able to do these programs.
Sure.
And AECI is just a wonderful sponsor. With the career program, My Future, My Career, they've been with us since inception. And, you know, there are a lot of costs involved. You've got to transport learners from their schools to the cinemas and back again.
Mm-hmm.
We do this early in the morning, so learners are hungry. You've got to give them food. And then there's got to be take-home value, so you've got to give them books and information. Not only do they watch the movie and do they get the information from the screen, but they also take home value. So without sponsors like AECI in the My Future, My Career program, we literally can't do it. We've got the movies in the cinemas,
sure,
but there'll be no kids.
Yeah.
So people like AECI and the commitment to education in the country are phenomenal.
Is that why you got involved, John?
We got involved, Gareth, because it's quite important for us to, as a corporate citizenship in the country, that as kids go to school, they are actually have difficulty in choosing a career. Now, this opportunity gives them a wide opportunity in terms of information on which career they can be engaged in. And a lot of careers that Prime Stars exposes these kids to are actually not well known, and the opportunity for a kid to say, what is my future? What is the career that I'm going to be following? And they then decide in terms of well researched information,
right?
And decide, and we as AECI are quite excited to get involved, to be involved in this program because of exactly that.
Now, AECI, you guys make chemicals and explosives.
Exactly.
Is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, that's interesting stuff. Mabali used to be in medical microbiology. We pulled her out of that, but she's a scientist. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. And Sia just Sia just likes explosions.
Yeah. I'll stand by and
listen
for that.
I got to say that it's great to see companies in South Africa that are doing the right thing and that are getting behind the right initiatives. But Martin, I mean, it's never enough, right? Because you've got so many kids in this country who need help.
Well, absolutely, and in so many different areas. You know, even though we have a phenomenal MEC of education, Panyasala Sufi, and a lot of people are trying to do a lot of things, education needs a lot of help. And with in this particular program, we have Anglo-American Kumba, we have AECI, we have Old Mutual, we have Tsoho Sun, we have the Women Development Bank Investment Holding, Kalula, the Regenesis Foundation, Nutrifruit, Big Bite Media. But we still can only touch the lives of 24,000 learners in this program. So if we had numerous sponsors coming and joining us, firstly, we've got the content, so there's not a lot of money that's needed for that. By the way, there are 14 different movies covering 120 different careers.
Wow.
So I remember in my day, and that's a very long time ago.
Back in the Jurassic, it was either, yes. either you were a dinosaur tamer or...
yeah, no, that's quite right. And then we had the apartheid system. Yes. And they only cared for white kids in schools. So I come from Klagsdorp. And in career guidance, we used to have the lawyer from the town,
yeah.
the doctor, yeah. the engineer.
These are the only people you could become if you wanted to.
yes.
So in, you became a lawyer.
Yeah, so I thought lawyer was the easiest.
so you became a lawyer and you've regretted it ever since.
And I wasn't really good in maths and science. So that was the only option. But there, at least, you had some kind of system. The career guidance is not happening in schools effectively. And young people, when you talk to young people and you say, what are you going to become? They say, Aish, I don't know. Or worse than that, they look at you and they the only person that they've really seen as a role model or a mentor in their life is their teacher.
Yeah.
So they're all going to become teachers. And then when they get into their first jobs, they all want to be marketing executives. So really, Deputy Minister Manana made a speech the other day where he spoke about a mismatch between available talents and job openings. And that mismatch is happening across the country. Young people, they all want to go to university. And quite frankly, when they leave university, they can't find jobs.
Yeah.
So the issue is...
We need to focus on skills, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So further education and training colleges, learnerships, artisan training and internships, these are all things that young people must focus on. So we've got to fix this mismatch. And that's what we try and do. We try and show these young learners possibility, opportunity. We try and show them that.
You know what they used to do in Soviet Russia? They'd take 100 kids and they'd say to them, you five are going to become plumbers. You five are going to become electricians. You five are going to become politicians. You five will be policemen. And then these kids, they might not have the aptitude for it. That's what you're going to do. They became plumbers or teachers or whatever they were. And that was the way it worked.
Sure. Well,
so whatever the nation needed, they would provide. And then these poor people would end up in careers they hated.
Yeah, well, this is the problem. We don't have enough artisans. And you know, a bigger problem, Gareth, is we're in an age of acceleration. Things are changing so fast, you know.
There's
careers,
pressure.
Unbelievable. I mean, the ability to adapt, they call it, I never could understand the difference between disruption and dislocation. Disruption is when you suddenly find your company is not needed anymore because
someone has jumped over you in the chain, yeah.
That's right. Dislocation is when you're unable to adapt with the changes that are happening.
Sure.
And our young people don't only have to face unemployment, but they also have to face the issue of the changes in the jobs environment. The workplace is changing.
Yeah. They say that all of the high-paying jobs of 5 years from now are not even jobs yet. We don't even know how to describe these jobs that are coming.
This is exactly it. You know, I read an article.
Get in front of the microphone there, Martin. Come on.
I read an article with where Bill Gates explained if he had children today, what the areas he'd want them to be involved in. Artificial intelligence and energy, green energy, of course.
Yeah.
And so our young kids, our young learners have to be informed. And it's that process. They also have to be given a sense of hope. And if you show a young person possibility and opportunity, it creates that sense of hope. So when Sia comes to the cinema on Sunday and we have about 350 kids at that cinema in Eastgate, I'm sure that he will give the learners that sense of opportunity and possibility because that's what they need. We need hope amongst our young people.
Well, listen, keep doing the good work that you're doing, and we will obviously have lots of time and space for you if you need any help from our side. It's terrific work that Prime Stars are doing. It's terrific work that AECI and the other sponsors are doing for you. John, thank you for your time today. I know you guys are busy and you've got lots to do. Go and blow things up now.
Thanks, guys.
That's what he wants to do, Mubs. You right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Not a bad day at the office.
If I can make one last comment.
Sure.
We really need the help of the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
We have got 500,000 seats. that we could fill. If we could bus more learners from their places, their schools, to cinemas, they could get this education. So come on, South Africa. Let's get things working. Come help us. Prime Stars, 083-700-4502 is my cell number. I'm giving it out on air. And martin@primestars.co.za. We really need help.
Thank you, Martin. Martin Sweet and John Matlase. And thank you both very much for coming to spend some time with us this morning. Coming up in a little while, Mark Banks, cliffcentral.com. Stick around. Do you want to say something, Sia?
No. Oh, that's about it.
You look like you had something on your mind. All right. Okay, very good. And thank you, gentlemen. Keep doing the good work you are. We need all the help in education in this country we could possibly get.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's not going to happen with just the Department of Education. It's not going to happen with just universities. It's not going to happen with just skills training and internships and all that stuff. We all have to get behind this. Otherwise, we're going to have a generation of people who can't get work or who aren't necessarily groomed for the right kind of work. And that does nobody any good. Unemployment, that'll kill us. So we need to sort that problem out ASAP. CliffCentral.com.